In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this third Sunday of Great Lent. And today the Church has given us the adoration of the cross for our veneration. This is actually one of three times in the year that we do this. We do it in September at the Feast of the Elevation of the Cross, and then there's in the summer there's the procession of the life-giving cross, and then this third week of Lent. And this really marks the halfway point of Lent. So that's kind of good news, you know, that we only have another 3 weeks to go. But it's also calls us up to, you know, try to hang in there. You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Like many of the events in the Old Testament, the cross was also prefigured in the Old Testament. And I want to just point out three of those for our consideration. And this is from the book of Numbers, chapter 21. When the people of Israel had left Egypt and were following Moses through the desert, they spoke against God and against Moses, complaining about the manna that God had provided them and the lack of water. And then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and many of them were bitten and died. Well, seeing this, the people repented and acknowledged their sin and asked Moses to pray to God for them to save them from these serpents. So the Lord told Moses to make a serpent of brass and set it upon a pole, and said that anyone who looked at that brass serpent, if they had been bitten by the actual serpents, then they would live. Well, here we can see a prefiguring of the cross as an instrument of healing. And there's a reference to this also in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, when the Lord is talking with Nicodemus about being born again spiritually. And Nicodemus is having a hard time understanding what Jesus really means by this. And so the Lord says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so the power of the cross enables us to be healed of spiritual blindness and other maladies. And another instance in, this is from Exodus chapter 15, after miraculously crossing the Red Sea, when Moses parted the waters and drowned the host of Pharaoh, the Israelites, after wandering in the desert for about 3 days, had no water, and they, you know, of course they're very thirsty, and they came to a spring, it was named Marah, and they tried to drink from it, but it was far too bitter and almost poisonous. So the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he had cast the tree into the waters were made sweet, and then they could drink from it. And the Holy Fathers have said that as the deadly bitterness was removed by the tree cast into the waters of Marah, similarly, death was conquered by the power of the cross of Christ. In one of the prayers for the service to the cross, it says, "Not suffering the deadly bitterness of the tree to remain, O Lord, thou hast utterly destroyed it through the cross. In like manner of old did a tree once destroy the bitterness of the waters of Marah," prefiguring the strength of the cross. So here we can also see in the cross the power to transform the bitterness of unbelief and sin and sickness and death into redemption and life. Also, the preaching of the cross even has the power to convert unbelievers to the Christian faith. And then the third thing I wanted to mention was the battle of the Israelites against the forces of Amalek. And so, as it says in one of the prayers, "Moses prefigured the power of the precious cross, O Christ, when he put to flight Amalek, his adversary, in the wilderness of Sinai. For when he stretched out his arms in the form of a cross, the people became strong again. And now the fulfillment of these images has come to pass for us. Today the cross is exalted, and devils are put to flight." And here we can see that the power of the cross can make us victorious over our enemies, which for us Christians really is the world, the flesh, and the devil. So what is really the significance of the cross for us Christians? What does the Lord mean when he says in today's gospel, "Whosoever desires to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me"? Well, now obviously not all Christians are called to literally shed their blood for Christ by suffering crucifixion or some other, you know, form of martyrdom. Well, St. Innocent of Alaska explained the meaning of this as a principle of the Christian and spiritual life in his book, The Indication of the Way into the Kingdom of Heaven, which, by the way, was written in the Aleut language, first of all, and then has since been translated into English. He said that to deny ourselves means to give up our bad habits, to root out of the heart all that ties us to the world, not to cherish bad desires and thoughts, to quench and suppress bad thoughts, and to avoid occasions of sin. So those are some of the ways that we deny ourselves. And regarding taking up our cross and following Christ, St. Innocent says, the word cross really means sufferings, sorrows, and adversities. To take up one's cross means to accept and bear everything unpleasant, painful, sad, difficult, and oppressive that may happen to us in our life. And he also goes on to say that God permits us to have exterior and interior crosses in this life, and that we really need both in order to make spiritual progress and improvement. Now, the external crosses come usually in the form of some kind of, you know, physical or material problem, like, you know, maybe sickness or health conditions or financial worries or various unfortunate events. While interior crosses might be more like in the form of our conscience bothering us when we have sinned or when we're tempted by various thoughts and feelings. Those are kind of on that level. And St. Innocent says that if we will try and be patient and ask God's help with these struggles, in His mercy, He will not abandon us and leave us without consolation, but rather He will touch our hearts with His grace and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then we will feel God's holy peace and joy as never before. So brothers and sisters, during these 40 days of Great Lent, we really are kind of like the people of Israel who are wandering around in the wilderness trying to travel to the Promised Land, because really Lent in a way is an image of that, 40 days of Lent, 40 years in the wilderness. And yet, you know, sometimes we're weak and sometimes we might be inclined to complain or grumble or be dissatisfied with things in our lives. But when we feel this way, let us turn to God in prayer and let us ask His help and let us pray that He will help us to learn to use the power of the cross for healing, for transformation, and victory over the sinful passions, the world, and the devil, that we might too be saved. Glory be to our God.